Chapter 1. The Pilot. Whap! Startled, I woke to a stinging, wet slap on my left arm. Slap! What is this torture? Another two blows in rapid succession caused a body spasm. My defensive reflexes too slow to protect myself. Am I alive? Ow! What? Confusion and growing anger mixed with intense pain as I struggled to get my bearings. My arms hurt. My legs hurt. My skin felt like it was burning. I'm dying and this crazy woman is hitting me with a wet towel. Am I on fire? In a weak attempt to defend myself, my brain sent a signal to lift an arm and shield myself from this stinging assault. But the attempt was too painful. Hank, wake up! Stop! I pleaded in a voice so weak I doubted she could hear me, and I winced as another slap hit my shoulder. To slip back into unconsciousness would spare me this suffering, but I'm not ready to die. Is this woman on the attack the only one I can count on to save me? Hank, you hit the power lines and crashed, the woman explained, between heavy breaths and rapid slapping blows. Shiny beads of sweat from adrenaline and exertion dotted her brow. She knows my name. Why is she hitting me? Why would she treat a dying person this way? You landed right in the middle of an anthill. Slap. Damned ants are all over you. It sounded like she said ants, but I began to understand as the towel whipping continued. I was not on fire. Ant stings, lots of them, burned my skin. She whipped hundreds of angry ants from my arms and upper torso. Slap. A feeble stop was all I could implore again as my brain sorted out where I was and why. The power lines, the crash, the woman. I've met her before. As my head cleared, it was coming back to me. I was in Anson, Texas, near Abilene. The woman on the other end of the wet towel is the wife of the farmer who hired me to spray their modest fields of cotton, a job that paid me to do what I loved most, fly. Crop dusting was a lucrative but dangerous business in 1952 for a young guy like me. 3 days earlier, a buddy of mine died in a crop dusting crash. 2 weeks before that, another pilot friend was decapitated when he hit low power lines. These thoughts flashed through my mind when, with a pop and sputter, the engine of my overloaded Super Cub quit on me midair. I saw the power lines coming at me and braced for the inevitable crash as time seemed to shift into slow motion. My heart pounded and my mind raced to find a strategy to survive. Maybe those electric wires could slow down my plane like an arresting cable on a naval carrier. I saw a small mound of dirt and figured if I could hit that just right, it may help soften the crash. Thoughts of my parents ran through my head and tugged at my heart. I whispered an "I love you" to each of them, wishing they could hear these last words. My crash strategy must have helped, because I was conscious when I first hit the ground. I had survived, so far. I suspected that one arm and one leg were broken because I could not move them. Yet somehow I managed to free myself from the seatbelt and crawled out of the plane where I must have passed out. Now this rude awakening by wet towel snapped me back to a fuzzy reality. That small mound of dirt was a large anthill, and its occupants were angry over the damage to their home and on the attack. Velma was her name. Or V, as she asked me to call her when we met before I started the job. Satisfied with the reduction in angry ants, V stopped hitting me and laid the towel across my left shoulder and upper arm, the area closest to the angry swarm. Help me. My voice was weak. Let me get you up in the truck, darling. Her voice sounded calmer, but she was still short of breath. We gotta get you to a hospital. V and her husband helped get my broken body up to the back of the truck, handling me with much more care than the slapfest administered while I was down. She wasn't a big woman, but between the two of them, she proved quite capable of getting all near 6 feet of me into the back of the truck, an excruciating process. Her husband had arranged a dirty blanket in the truck bed, and they did their best to position me to minimize the pain. The couple jumped into the back of the pickup, and with a grind and a jerk forward, the truck leapt into gear. We raced down the dusty, unpaved road. At least it felt like a race, as each bounce and jostle caused pain to every limb of my body. The hot sun beat down on my skin, inflamed from the countless stings of those riled ants. I opened my eyes and saw V looking through the truck's back window at me with a look of concern, her husband at the wheel. I let my head drop back down and closed my eyes as I realized that it was too much effort to move at all. I had experienced minor crashes before and never let them stop me from pursuing what I love. I was always ready to fly again as soon as possible. Now I'm afraid if I pass out, I'll never wake up again. Who's going to let my mother know what happened? These people don't know who my family is or where they are. Mother and father are in Holland, and I agonized over the thought that my parents may never know what happened to me. Memories of my entire life ran through my mind. After all I've been through, I can't believe this is how it ends. The road that led me here was by no means typical for a Texas crop duster. I was born in the U.S. but grew up in Amsterdam, and I'm Dutch to the core. Life was good until the German occupation of Holland in World War II, when my tranquil life as a teenager with dreams of flying turned upside down, when it became clear I must go into hiding like thousands of other citizens fleeing the Nazis. I lived on the run for 2 years. Now I'm in a fight for my survival once again. I resisted the urge to pass out because I have so much more to do in life. Given the chance, I know I could reach a higher level of flying than crop dusting, and I have yet to find true love. I'm only 23 years old, and so far I had been lucky in life, when luck was needed. Is it possible my luck had run out? My name is Hank Gillibard, Private Gillibard, as I was known in the Army, and my life is already a story worth telling.